The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Another very busy show during the noon hour on the Buckmaster Show today, April 25th, 2018. Hope the week is going well for you. It is our midweek edition, the first half hour of the show. Pima County Supervisor Ramon Valadez. Then, Janos Wilder, the legendary Tucson restaurant owner and really creative culinary chef will be with us. For the second half hour, we're going to do a deep dive into Janos' career, and that's going to be fun. So we've got a very full hour here. 790-2040 is our live line number. If you'd like to call in, Supervisor Valadez would be happy to hear from you and do the best he can to answer your questions. Also, you can listen to this program. You don't need to be in front of a radio. If you're by a computer, buckmastershow.com has the live, what they call, stream. It's worldwide live listening there. And, of course, kvoi.com 24/7. We have all of our programs available on the live stream. Let's welcome now Pima County Supervisor, Democrat Ramon Valadez. Supervisor Valadez, how are you, sir?
I'm doing really well, Bill. Pleasure to be here.
Now, tomorrow there will be a strike, a job action, walkout, whatever you want to call it. Thursday and Friday we're hearing. You served from 1996 until 2003 in the state legislature, first as a state representative, then a state senator. Looking at the legislature, do they have any choices right now that they could make to possibly avert this thing?
I'll tell you what, Bill, right now, I don't know what choices they have because I am not there right now. What I will tell you is that when we were in the legislature and I was with many of my friends, including a shout out to Steve Huffman, who was in the state house with me, we did a number of different things. The schools had won the funding formula, so we created the school facilities board and actually funded it. Subsequently to that, in about 2000, we actually put together a referendum that was referred to the voters by the legislature for a half-cent sales tax for schools, which in effect, when voters passed it, put the per-pupil funding from 48th in the nation to somewhere around 44 to 42, and things certainly were going much
in the
better,
right direction.
In the
certainly.
Correct direction.
But then they started going the bad direction. If we had continued to fund the facilities, we would be a lot better off today, wouldn't we?
Well, absolutely, because the intent was that regardless of what district a student or pupil went to, they were going to have the same or similar facilities at a minimum standard. Then the recession happened, and that has frankly been used as an issue to reduce the per pupil spending, reduce the amount that went for facilities board, and I believe a couple of years didn't fund it. So the schools are even struggling simply to maintain what they have, let alone build what they may need.
Jim Kelly has called us, a good friend of this program. He would like to speak with Supervisor Valadez. Jim, how are you today, sir?
I am well, Bill. Hello, Ramon.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Not bad. A little off topic. I wanted to talk about the transportation projects on the south side. Aerospace Parkway looks like it's coming along. What are we looking at for the Benson Highway for the Country Club and Columbus things? How is that looking?
Well, right now we're looking at a couple different alternatives right now, Jim, and thank you for bringing that up. As you know, part of what we're considering at present is the idea of a half-cent sales tax that would require unanimous vote of the board to really look at our roads and repair all our roads in our region. So that would certainly affect Benson Highway. Should that fail, we have a couple of different options, including continuing the 25-cent road tax that we began last year that is likely to prioritize roads like Benson that are so heavily used.
Where are we on the whole thing with the proposed half-cent county sales tax? As you said, it does require a unanimous vote, and right now Supervisor Allie Miller is not on board.
Well, I'll tell you what, the discussions are continuing. We had a discussion at the board meeting last Tuesday where we discussed a number of different policy alternatives that we've directed staff to come back with next Tuesday on May 1st. Which include the distribution of the sales tax to be by population, which we several of us were favoring simply because this is the collection is very different than a property tax formula where it should be by net assessed value. We looked at governance and who was going to have oversight. And governance is going to include a annual audit both by the RTA and by the Auditor General, which is a branch of the Arizona Legislature. The RTA is going to be coming up with a universal standard that will be used in our region, which will be a first time ever, and frankly will improve uniformity within our entire area and our region, which is big plus, I think. And they will also be performing a performance review on all the member jurisdictions. If a jurisdiction is not able to come in on budget, on time, and to standard, they will have their projects managed by other entities, including the RTA, whatever option is better. So we're still having that discussion. And obviously the resolution does require a 5-0 vote. It does contain language that if those funds in those audits are used for anything other than roads, it's an automatic repeal. So that if the audit shows that monies were used elsewhere, they're either restored or, again, the program goes away automatically. It is a 10-year program, and, again, at the end of that 10-year cycle, the program itself auto-repeals.
How much money would it generate, Ramon Valdez?
It generates about $82 to $88 million annually, so it'll be somewhere in the ballpark of about $800 million. And our road issued in our region here is roughly between $800 million and $1 billion. So it either will get us completely there or most of the way there.
Well, something that's not being talked about a lot is up in Phoenix right now. Lawmakers are considering a measure that, in effect, would do away with that majority, or it would be a simple majority to pass this instead of the unanimous vote.
Actually, it's a little different than that.
Okay. Explain it to me.
What it is it's a measure that would allow the RTA to ask the Board of Supervisors to place on the ballot by simple majority a measure that would then do a half-cent sales tax through the RTA for the road preservation and road maintenance.
Okay.
And it's a simple majority vote to put it on the ballot.
And is that still alive up in the legislature?
It is still alive and frankly supported by the governor and, my understanding, both the speaker and the president of the Senate.
And from what I understand, Maricopa County lawmakers like it.
I believe that's correct.
So that could happen, and that could that be possibly put on the ballot for November?
Assuming it gets amended the way we've been told it's going to be amended and the governor signs it, there is a possibility it could be on the ballot in November.
So meanwhile, you are moving forward. You say there's a meeting coming up May 1st, right, on this?
Tuesday, May 1st, next Tuesday. We are going to take a second look at the drafts that come back to us based on the recommendations from last week.
There were some conflicting proposals, but the four members of the board who are in favor pretty much are in lockstep in agreement on what they would like to see, or no? Is it still very fluid?
I think there is a recognition that is an issue for our region, that it is something we need to address. I think there's still some divergent thoughts, but certainly we're trying to work those out in the overall package. I mean, it's the art of compromise.
Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Chuck would like to join in the conversation, and Chuck has a question about sales tax for roads. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yes. You just indicated, Mr. Bell, that the sales tax would bring in over the 10-year period, if passed, about $800 million. My question to you, sir, is what happens to the HERF funds that also bring in another $800 million?
Okay. The highway user funds, what happens to those, Supervisor?
Well, there's two sources of revenues that come from the state, and both the HERF, for those that don't know, is the gas tax that we pay. Mm-hmm. It's been the same since 1991. There's also 20% of the vehicle license tax that we all pay on our vehicles that also goes to transportation. What we've been doing is, if we remember 1997, we as a community voted to and passed a revenue bond that committed some of those revenues towards the 1997 road bond program. We are still paying off some of that debt. However, as that debt continues to reduce itself, then those HERF and BLT monies become available for the additional road program, so that it'll add on to it as part of the self-maintaining. One of the wonderful things about the road plan that we're proposing next Tuesday and that we're considering is, obviously, we control the unincorporated roads. And obviously, we're going to ask the jurisdictions what their plan is in order to do the same thing in the incorporated roads. But the unincorporated, as we can speak to, it is a very detailed plan that says when they're going to be repaired, how much we're going to spend on it, and then, frankly, also has a follow-up to that. You can also put the street, if you live in the unincorporated Pima County, and you'll even know when we're going to resurface it after it's been brought up to standard.
Mm. All right, we're going to take a break right here. Ramon Valadez will stick around with us, but we want to tell our listeners, Supervisor Valadez, about our newest partner here on the Buckmaster Show. I love bakery goods. You probably do, too. Your waistline may not like it, right?
That's true.
Yeah, but our favorite bakery, Supervisor, is Mona's Danish Bakery. They're the home of the Danish Kringle, and they're up in my neck of the woods, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Steve and Sherry, the owners, do all the baking themselves. They get up very early, so they're open right now for a lovely sandwich on that bread that Steve got up at 3 o'clock this morning to prepare.
Well, certainly going to have to try that one.
You certainly will. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of the fine partners of the Buckmaster Show. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek will join us. Plus, we'll talk with Jim Cantrell. Jim heads up Vector Space. He'll update us on his Tucson-based space venture company. It's during the noon hour on Buckmaster on AM 1030. KVOI Worldwide Live Listening, BuckmasterShow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show. We talked about our favorite bakery already. How about our favorite nursery? That's hands down Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Jan and Jack, the owners, have shared with me some really exciting information that I can't tell our listeners about until Monday, but it's really going to be a big deal, so we'll be talking about that Monday. But anyway, it'd be a good weekend to go to Green Things. They are just west of the Brandy Fenton Park for all of your nursery items. Ramon Valadez with us, Pima County Supervisor. Do you and your lovely wife do any gardening, or do you just...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Thankfully, we both have green thumbs and really enjoy gardening at our home.
Well, that's good. You'll have to check out Green Things. People actually go to Green Things. They've been on the bicycle by the Rito River, on the river walk and thing. So they just take the bicycle in there.
Oh, absolutely. I've been to Green Things a number of times. It's a fantastic location and a fantastic place.
One of our listeners wants you to clarify your position about the library in Sahorita. Can you fill us in on that?
Oh, absolutely.
Our listener seems to think it's at the wrong spot.
Well, as you know, Bill, I live out there too. And what's happened, and just for our listeners, by way of history, a number of years ago, probably in about 2007, 2008 timeframe, when Lynn Skelton was the mayor, Lynn invited me out, and that was before I lived there, invited me out there to do kind of a windshield tour with her and Jim Staley, who was the town manager. So we did the tour of Sahorita and got to see all kinds of things, and I said, "Hey, Lynn, where's your library?" Because you've got a huge community of just families and kids, and you know it's a perfect environment. You need a library.
Right.
And she said, "We don't have one."
Hmm.
And I said, "Okay, let me see what we can do about that."
Mm-hmm.
So in relatively short order, the following January, we actually dedicated the library there, which we partnered with Rancho Sahorita, the development company, and we've rented for, I believe, $1 a year. A mobile structure with a library. It's one of the most heavily used libraries in the system.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And so what we did is, obviously, when the recession hit, we delayed the bond election more and more, and a new regional library for Sahorita was in the bond that failed in 2015.
Okay.
So when the bond failed, frankly, there wasn't going to be a library. And working with our staff and with Mr. Huckleberry, we were able to put together some monies to build a regional library. So it's there were actually limiting to two sites. And what I've told the town, the mayor, and everybody else is, look, I'm not going to be deciding the location because I don't want to be the one that decides it. What I am going to do, however, is I want the new library built and moved into prior to the end of the lease of the existing library.
Which is?
Which is, I believe, the end of next year.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a little tight. We may need a little bit of a few months in between, but that was the only guideline that I gave them. So they considered two sites, one of which the town brought to the library system, and the other one, which is the baseball field at the Sabadita Primary School. While the library system was still considering which of the two sites it was going to decide, the town informed us that the other site wasn't going to be able to meet the criteria that we needed. But we certainly appreciate the fact that they stepped up and were willing to work with us. So working with the town of Sahuarita, working with the school district, we were left with that one site. Now, a lot of people think it's going to be a small library. It is a 15,000 to 20,000 square foot facility. It is a regional library. So it's not going to be a small library. We don't do small libraries anymore. Okay. We only do regional libraries where there's a need. So we will see a full-size regional library in that location.
Okay.
So that was how we decided on the site, and hopefully look forward to dedicating that when we move into it once it's finished.
And again, the location is where?
It is, for those of us who live in Rancho Sabarita, it's on the north side of Sabarita Road, next to where the Fry's gas station is.
Okay. How about Canoa Hills Golf Course? There was a lot. Do you feel there was a lot of misinformation about this deal?
You know, I will tell you that when I've talked to people, most people have heard some things that it's going to cost us some exorbitant amount of money to purchase and then another exorbitant amount of money to maintain it. They're giving it to the county. It's being deeded over to the county. And it will be maintained as a natural space park. So the expense is actually very, very minimal. Because obviously what people I think are thinking of is an urban type park, and the county generally doesn't do urban type parks. We have some, but generally speaking, we do natural.
And it has nothing to do with Oro Valley and their golf course.
No. Yeah. The golf course will not be in operation. It will be allowed to go back to nature. And so it's an opportunity that presented itself. Supervisor Christie, to his credit, stepped up, and kudos to him. Because it's an incredible deal for the general public, and thank you for the owner who was willing to deed it over to the county for use for the public.
Despite overall sustained GDP growth in the United States, some cities still are hit by extreme poverty. USA Today this week listed those 20 cities, and thankfully we were not on the list. Surprisingly, Phoenix was, and Albuquerque. That was a little bit surprising. What do you make of those numbers? And I shared with this right before the show today, so you didn't get a chance to take a real deep dive into this.
Right, Bill. I would tell you that it's we are in the process of transitioning as a community economically. Over the last 5 to 7 years, we've been in the midst of doing those things that we had felt through the economic development plan was necessary. We're seeing the fruits of those labors right now in a number of different projects. Obviously, Vector's an example. Worldview's an example.
Jim Cantrell, Vector, will be here tomorrow.
And I'll be listening. Uh-huh. Please tell Jim I said hello. Obviously, the expansion of Raytheon is another example of it, the Sonoran Corridor and where we're headed with that. But let's also remember that the other part of that formula is workforce. And what that means is that members of our community, making sure that they have the skill set that we need to have in order to be employed by these new employers. And that has been a big part of what we've been successful at. We've got a ways to go. We're headed in the right direction, certainly trending in the right direction, and we have a lot of work still left to do. But at least I think it's evidence of the fact that we're headed in the right direction.
I mean, it's not to say that, you know, yes, we don't have this extreme poverty, and that's very good news, but it is still a very poor community overall. I mean, we have a lot of poor people.
Absolutely, Bill, and that's why I said there's still a lot of work for us to do.
How long do you think this work action is going to go? What are you hearing about the teachers' strike or whatever?
I don't know, Bill. I've heard a number of different things, and the truth is, we touched on it earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what I think we accomplished when myself, Steve Huffman, and a number of others, Pete Hirschberger, were in the legislature, has frankly been stepped back. And I think it's time that our leaders in the state are forced to have a very realistic look at whether or not we're willing to invest in our young people. If we're willing to invest in economic development, that economic development is our young people.
Ramon Valdez, thank you very much. Supervisor Valdez, have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
All right, coming up next, Janos Wilder. We'll have a lot to talk with the legendary Janos after we take the mid-show break here on Buckmaster Midweek Edition. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Join the Tucson Cactus and Succulent Society on Saturday the 28th and Sunday the 29th at Hotel Tucson City Center at 475 North Granada. Enjoy the plant show and check out the plants, pottery, books, and art for sale from dozens of vendors, as well as locally rescued saguaro, beryl, mamayatia, and hedgehog cactus and ocotillos. For information about workshops on container gardening, landscaping tips, cooking with cactus, and other unique topics, go to tucsoncactus.org. That's tucsoncactus.org.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. One of our fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. All those fine folks over there in southwestern New Mexico urge Tucsonans, take a look at their area this weekend. Just a three-hour drive from Tucson, and as things heat up here, it cools down a little bit. Nice nights certainly over there, 15 degrees cooler because of the elevation. Lots to do, hiking in the Gila Wilderness, exploring historic Silver City. Some really nice eateries, too, now that have popped up in Silver City. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the complete list of the many places that are really fine establishments to stay and great recreation ideas. Let's welcome now Janos Wilder, the legendary Tucson restaurateur, to the Buckmaster Show. Janos, always a pleasure, sir.
It is so great to be with you here, Bill. Thank you so much for having me.
I want to talk a little bit about the Agave Festival. This is the 2018 Agave Festival taking place. It really kicks off, this Friday night with kind of a world-class culinary event. How did all of this come about, the Agave Festival?
So the Agave Festival is put on by Hotel Congress. We're a collaborator with them in this event, and they really saw a place in the market where they to show off. It was really about showing off agave spirits is how it started. And it started small, and it was really about the spirits. And over the years, they really saw an opportunity to branch out and expand it as really showing more than agave spirits, but really the foods of the region as well. And to be, rather than just be a drinking party, it's become a very educational party. There's got 10 days of Agave Fest, 25 different events happening.
You said 10 days?
10 days. 10 days. The Agave Fest stretches over 10 days, starting in 2 days, starting this Friday with our kickoff dinner at the Carriage House, and runs for 10 days with 25 different events around town.
What kind of events?
So
what's the range of events?
From things to from really the enjoyment of drinking agave beverages to
Antumamachi. Which could be tequila, mezcal.
Tequila,
right?
Mezcal, bacanora.
Bacanora, yeah. And there's the whole range of agave plants really, and the tastes are so different, aren't they?
The tastes are so different, yeah. And so unique. So they've got events at Hotel Congress where they'll have 30 different mezcals represented, and you get a chance to taste all of those, and as well as really learn about them and how what makes mezcal is different from tequilas, and what makes one mezcal different from the next one. So mezcal is a beverage that's really taken off. It's a spirit that in the last 10 years has come into its own, when it was once known as this sort of smoky, untamed thing with the worm in it. Yeah. Now it's become a really sophisticated spirit and really finding its place as a really great beverage.
Janos, you mentioned the Carriage House, which is now in your portfolio. Tell our listeners a little bit about it and about this multi-course dinner that's going to be presented tomorrow, Friday.
Sure. The Carriage House, we opened the Carriage House 2.5 years ago. It's in the heart of downtown, just behind on the other side of Arizona Avenue from our parking lot at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails. It's an event space, but it's an event space where we do all sorts of different events, from weddings to corporate dinners to receptions to lots of nonprofit fundraisers. We also have a state-of-the-art video studio in there, so we have a partnership with Tucson Medical Center, for instance, where we do healthy eating classes for them and video them, and they can They put them on their website. They run them in patient rooms. We do a lot of work sort of educating their patients and their clientele on how you can create really healthy foods without having any sacrifice whatsoever. So easy to make healthy foods that are going to taste great at home for you. Then we do a lot of our own cooking classes as well. But really what we do more than anything else there are events. So open to do all of those sorts of things. We have a big kitchen back there, and we do catering as well out of that.
It's great. It's a great location. The venue is historic, right?
Right in the heart of downtown Tucson. The building's over 100 years old. It was the home of the first indoor automobile showroom in Tucson. Yeah, it was Studebaker dealership, which fronted on Broadway.
Oh, my goodness.
And our building, our part of the building, the carriage house, was actually the service area for the dealership. So that's where they service the cars.
790-2040. If any of our listeners have any questions for Janos Wilder, now would be a good time to give us a call. We do want to point out, Janos, that this multi-course dinner that will be presented, Native Seeds Search, is really kind of one of the beneficiaries, right?
Are the beneficiary of it. Okay. Yeah, so Native Seed Search is an organization that's very close to my heart for a variety of reasons. I was on their board for well over 20 years and was chairman of the board most recently. And it's an organization that, from a gastronomic standpoint, really very helpful and very important, with Tucson receiving the designation of a world city of gastronomy. And it's because it is the repository of all of our agricultural history from the region going back 4,000 years. So in our seed bank at Native Seed Search, we have a collection of nearly 2,000 unique accessions or lines of seeds that have been grown here starting 4,000 years ago.
Wow.
It's really something.
That's kind of mind-boggling, 4,000 years. Yeah.
And when you think about it, so the Santa Cruz River is the longest continuously cultivated region in the United States. Doesn't make any sense. Why would that be in the middle of the desert, the parts of desert? Why would people be able to go to one source year after year, millennium after millennium, generation after generation? It's because it was the only reliable source of water continuously for that period of time. So civilization after civilization found their way to the banks of the Santa Cruz River, and a lot of the seeds that they use are now in the collection of Native Seed Search, and from all over this region, not only there. But it's not just collecting seeds and putting them in a seed bank.
Right.
They're not museum pieces.
No.
They're meant to be used and cultivated and harvested and cooked with, and so really the big part of the mission is first locating those seeds, saving them, and making sure that they don't go extinct. But you do that by distributing them and getting people to plant them, and that's really what we do at Native Seed Search. So those people are planting today, right now, in their yard. They're planting seeds that might have been planted here thousands of years ago.
And the eating some of these products from those seeds, what is that like, and what type of products? Breads?
So you can make, so Father Kino brought wheat to the New World, so you can make breads out of Sonoran white wheat. Mm-hmm. That's really becoming very popular with bread makers here. We use a lot of the different beans in our cooking. These are arid adapted beans like tepary beans. Mm-hmm. They use very, very
probably
little
very
water.
Healthy.
They're healthy. Yeah. They use very little water. They can go dormant. And most importantly, to a chef, they taste good.
Mm-mm.
Gotta taste good. It's all from a chef's standpoint, this is all well and good, and it's all very good scientific stuff, and we appreciate that. But if it doesn't taste good, well, I'm not going to be cooking with it.
There you go.
And so a lot of these have really good flavors, and from amaranth shoots to different types of basils, from tomatoes that have grown here forever to actually lima beans and fava beans that we can grow that have been adapted to this region. So really, it's really balanced. Almost 700 different types of corn and a similar number of different type of squash and lots of different chilies, of course, as you can imagine.
We're going to take our break right here. We've got so much more to talk with Janos Wilder about on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take our break. We'll hear from the fine people who make this program possible. Be right back with Janos. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster, AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. We've got our worldwide live listening. You can hear this program on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Janos Wilder is here, Tucson's legendary culinary master, and Janos pretty much... He beat me to town here. I've been in town 30 years. Janos came, I think, about 5 years before I did, and starting kind of a restaurant downtown that originally was in the on the campus of Tucson Museum of Art. That's when I first ate it, at the original Janos.
Yes.
That was a nice property.
That was a beautiful property. That was a National Historic Landmark home, the home of the first territorial representative to Washington, Hiram Stevens. Mm-hmm. The tall, tall saguaro rib ceilings and the thick adobe walls. Oh, my gosh. We were so
atmospheric,
fortunate.
So atmospheric, that place. Then you moved to the foothills, and then in 2010 came back to downtown with Downtown Kitchen, and now the Carriage House, also part of the portfolio. And the Carriage House, as we talked about in the first segment, in a historic downtown building. But this kicking off the 2018 Agave Festival happening Friday night at 6 o'clock, it's a multi-course dinner. What can you tell us about the dinner, Janos?
Well, several important things. One, it's going to be delicious. Great local wines, incredible food. It's a benefit for Native Seed Search, so 100% of the ticket sales go to Native Seed Search. We have gotten all of the cost underwritten, so that's really great. So as I was leaving the board of Native Seed Search a few months ago, they said, we want to do something to honor you, and thought, well, let's do a dinner to make you a whole bunch of money. That's really the motivation for me, is to get this really fantastic and important organization to help raise funds for it. And they said, well, we'd like that. That's a good idea. We'll go with that. And I said, but I want to have some fun doing it. So I have invited back a lot of our alumni chefs from over the years who have cooked with us. Marianne Baines, who was our pastry chef in 1985, had the longest duration with us, or from longest ago.
Yeah.
She's now been the pastry chef at Kingfisher for the last 20 years. Guys like Bruce Yim, who was our opening chef at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, and before that worked up at Janos, is currently the chef at Hacienda.
It's like a chef hall of fame coming to this dinner on Friday night.
Each of them are taking a different course.
Ooh,
my
cool
chef, Devin Sanders, is sort of the organizing chef for this. So you've got guys coming back to Tucson and working with us and to sort of show off how well they cook and what they've been doing and what they learned with us and how to work with local ingredients. So it's all about local ingredients by guys who've learned here and love it here, and some of them coming back home to cook for the first time in many years.
How do people get involved if they'd like to go to the dinner?
So you could, there are still
like
a handful of spaces left. It's pretty close to sold out, but it's not. So go to the Native Seeds Search website, nativeseeds.org.
Or just Google Native Seeds, and that will probably come
that'll
up.
The website will come up, and then it'll take you right to the place where you give you more information about this, but where you can purchase tickets to it. And that's the best way to do that. And love to see you there. It's really great.
And something tells me there'll be an agave-inspired cocktail hour.
Yes, as a matter of fact, there will. There will. And that's kind of fun. We're doing a silver tequila, Milagro silver tequila, and with blood oranges that have been gleaned from the Iskashita Refugee Network.
Ooh.
And some creosote that I've pulled from my property, and we're making a little tea with that, so it's going to be sort of an agave blood orange punch.
Ooh, sounds really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about the whole United Nations City of Gastronomy in the United States. You were instrumental in helping when the presentation was made to the UNESCO people to make this designation. And since we became the first, there's now been a second. Is that true, Austin?
No, San Antonio.
San Antonio. I knew it was close,
right,
in South Texas. But we were first. And from a tourism point of view, and you're kind of like Tucson's culinary ambassador, how big a deal was this and is this?
Hard to calculate. It's really stunning the impact that this has had from a tourism aspect and from a promotional aspect, from Visit Tucson, you know, charts all of this. And it's been millions and millions of dollars of marketing from articles written really all over the country and all over the world about this designation in Tucson, and because Tucson is such a unique place, and being the first in the United States was terrific for us and something we're very proud of. But there's interest. We get emails, and they really get the emails from all over the world. People are interested in what we're doing here and want a vacation here in southern Arizona. And culinary destinations are a big thing in travel. People mm-hmm. People travel on their stomachs, and they want to learn about the authentic food of where they are. And boy, do we have it here.
And you know, the whole driving force with downtown, I think, has been the culinary scene. And you were instrumental in that. In 2010, you opened Yano's Kitchens, and I remember when the announcement was made, a lot of people were breathing a sigh of relief. Now, if Yano's is leaving the foothills to go downtown, this whole downtown resurgence has some legs, and I think you are to be congratulated, Yano's, for making that move. Was it a good move in hindsight over the 8 years ago?
Oh, it was a great move. I couldn't be happier. It was sort of poetic for me because it was coming full circle. When our first restaurant on the Tucson grounds of the Tucson Museum of Art mm-hmm. in 1983, I kind of think we were successful then in spite of being downtown. There was not much of a draw to downtown, although that building was phenomenal in mm-hmm. the draw in itself. And now I think we're successful coming back downtown because of downtown. When we opened in 2010, there were a couple of really good restaurants, but maybe six or eight restaurants in all of downtown, maybe three or four of them open in the evening. Now we have well over 80 to closer to 100 restaurants
and
bars downtown in the downtown area of like four or six square blocks. And it's people, if you have not been downtown on a Friday or Saturday night in some time, well, leave a little earlier than you think you might need to. Walk around downtown. The nightlife is amazing. The street scene is packed. The restaurants are busy. The bars are busy. There's so much to do. And then come visit me at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails while you're down there.
There you go. We're speaking with Yano's Wilder. Yano's, you were talking about these legendary chefs who are going to be doing some great dishes for your event on Friday night at the Carriage House at 6 p.m. Why do people be, it's kind of a question about chefs. Are they attracted because they like to eat, or what is the motivation for a chef? I mean, why did you turn to this particular profession?
Well, I think there's a lot of motivations, but I think there's a common denominator that runs through people who are in the restaurants, whether they're in the back of the house in the kitchen, like I got mm-hmm. my start and have always been, mm-hmm. or servers.
Okay,
I think that we're pleasers. Mm. We want to make people happy. We're proud to create a great plate of food that somebody is going to enjoy and is going to nourish them and going to make a special night for them from the server's standpoint.
I have never thought of it that way, but yeah. It makes sense. You get a big smile on your face when you see diners with big smiles on their face and savoring and enjoying a lovely meal.
No, that's absolutely right. And I think there's lots of other reasons people get into it. But I think if that personality trait is mm-hmm. one that I think most of us have in common. We're pleasers. We want to make people happy by giving them great service or by giving them great food. So, which is why when you go out to a really good restaurant that knows their chops, they know what they're doing, and with good staff, it really can be a transcendent experience and one that's really very special and takes you out of your everyday into something that's a little bit out of the ordinary and one that you can take great pleasure in.
All right. Go Google native seed search. Probably that would be the best way. People sometimes in the car have trouble writing down long websites, but there they will find the information. There are just a few spots open for this wonderful dinner, this multi-course dinner that will be presented by Native Seed Search in honor of the James Beard Award-winning chef, Yano's Wilder. wilder, so the proceeds will certainly help native seed search. Right, Janos?
Yes, it will.
All right. Any final thoughts that you have about the Agave Festival?
I would like to take next week off so that I could go to every single event. I think the coolest people in Tucson go to the Agave Fest because they know how special it is and how special and unique and what a wonderful place it is to live in Tucson. So I invite all of you to go to the Agave Fest.
Janos Wilder, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. That's from 4 to 6, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you tomorrow. We've got Steve Kasachek on the program and Jim Cantrell of Vector Space. They're doing some great stuff. And information about the annual Cactus Conference. So that kind of fits in with the Agave Festival there, Janos.
It sure does.
All right. Have a great afternoon and evening.